chapter 3. We're going to finish up some thoughts from there last week. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Lord, this is your word. I just pray you'd bless it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about what it means to trust in the Lord. Along this journey that we were talking about in following Jesus, the whole point of that was if you don't have trust or confidence in someone, you're not going to follow them. We have to believe that the person we're following has our best interest at heart. We have to believe that they are following what God leads them to do in the best way possible. And so we talked about the importance of trusting in the Lord with all our heart. Well, there's another part of this that I want us to think about this morning along this journey, and some things that we need to be careful of as we do our very best to walk with Christ. I want us to focus on this idea. It says, do not lean on your own understanding. My newest Bible that I have, received as a Christmas present, replaces that word lean with the word rely. Do not rely on your own understanding. So I want us to think about some things along the way here. I want to ask you this question first. What does it mean to lean on something? What does it mean to lean on something? Well, if I'm leaning on something, it means that I'm transferring my weight to that object that I'm leaning on. We lean on something or someone for various reasons. We might be tired, we might be weak, we might lose our balance, and those are all things that could cause us to lean on someone or something else. One of the other things that is very common in today's world that causes us to lean on something, it would be an injury. I have these for a reason. I had to learn to use these. In January of 2011, on a Saturday night, I was playing in a church volleyball tournament. And in the very last game of the night, someone hit the ball and it started to go over my head, so I turned to try to see where the ball was going and see if I could get there in time to keep it in play. And as I turned and I pushed off with my foot to try to get to that ball, something happened. Something I couldn't really describe, something I couldn't explain. I did not know. I had sprained ankles, I've had twisted ankles, I've had a broken finger. But I didn't understand. I didn't know what happened. What it felt like was that someone took something like one of these crutches or a bat or their foot. It felt like someone hit me just as hard as they could or kicked me just as hard as they could right in the back of my ankle. And what I realized later was that I had ruptured my Achilles tendon. So I had the privilege of driving home. Once I got myself out of the gym and into my car, I drove home, hobbled in the front door of my house, and didn't even go up. We lived in a split-level house at the time. I didn't even make it all the way up the stairs. I just got up the stairs far enough to look through the stair banisters, the railings on the banister, and I saw Blenda, and she was on her computer. I said, oh, good, look up ruptured Achilles tendon. Because I think that's what I did. So that Saturday night we spent, I don't know how long, in the emergency room. They put a temporary splint on my leg. Sent me home. I preached the next morning, sitting in a chair. I can't preach sitting down. Can you imagine that? I know that surprises you. I can't preach sitting down. So the very next Sunday, after having surgery and being in a cast, I stood at the pulpit, and I leaned on the pulpit with one hand, and I leaned on my crutch with the other. I spent I don't know how long after that learning to walk on crutches in the middle of winter in North Dakota. Snow and ice everywhere. But for a long time, these crutches became my source of support. They had to hold me up because I was non-weight bearing. If I put weight on that foot, it would re-injure. And it would cause me more problems. I didn't want that. So I kept moving along, using the crutches until, as we went through that process of healing and therapy, the doctor finally told me, he said, well, now you can get rid of the crutch. Had a walking boot. Just had to gradually build myself back up to where I could put weight on that leg and on that foot. But you see, my crutch is what I had to lean on. It's what I relied on to hold me up and to keep me upright, to hold up my weight. Here, we're told not to lean on or put our confidence in or rely on our own understanding. This is a very important part of our Christian walk, because as human beings, we find ourselves many, many times in that frame of mind where we think, I can just do this by myself. I got this covered. This isn't hard. I got this covered. Anytime someone tells me this shouldn't be difficult or this shouldn't take long, I file that away in the back of my mind. I think I'm going to remember you said that. Because what I found is a lot of times things that I think shouldn't be difficult or shouldn't take long are more difficult and take longer than I think they should, usually because I'm trying to do them myself and I don't know how to do them. But instead of asking for help, I try to figure it out. And in our Christian walk, sometimes we get to that point where we think, well, I'm having a pretty good day. I don't need to pray about this. I think I know what to do. I'll just take care of it. I want you to listen to what an old timer named Clark says regarding this passage of Scripture. He translates this, do not prop yourself up. He goes on to say that it is on God, not on yourself, that we are commanded to depend. And anyone who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Anyone who trusts in his own heart, anyone who trusts and put our full reliance and confidence in our own understanding is a fool. Why would he say that? Why would Scripture tell us not to lean on or rely on our own understanding? What's so dangerous about it? Well, here's what's dangerous about leaning on our own understanding. Our understanding is human, which makes it several different things I want us to think about here this morning. The fact that my understanding is human makes it imperfect. The fact that our understanding is human makes it imperfect. Why? Because I'm an imperfect being. God is a perfect and holy God. There's only been one perfect man that ever walked the face of this earth, and his name was Jesus Christ. And even though, as a born-again Christian and born-again believer, I am an ambassador for Christ, I am a representative for Christ, and so are you, that does not make us Jesus Christ. We're not perfect. And somewhere along the line, somewhere along the way, if we fall into this trap of relying on our own understanding and putting our faith in that, it's going to fail us because it's imperfect. As a human, my understanding is also incomplete. My understanding is incomplete. Why? Because I don't know everything. I don't know all the facts. I don't know all the circumstances and situations that go into this, whatever the ordeal might be that we're talking about. I can read a news article on some kind of political situation, or I can read something from a church magazine on a spiritual situation. I can see something someone posts on Facebook, which is always accurate, we know. I can see something that someone posts on Facebook, and I can read some little catchy sentence or line that they use to get your attention, and I can jump to a conclusion about a circumstance or a situation, but chances are I'm going to be wrong or incorrect about it because I don't have all the facts and I don't have all the details. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. It's very dangerous and sometimes very humbling for us to act on something or make a judgment or a decision on something based on incomplete information, because many times we have to go back and make things right and apologize because we jumped to a conclusion that was inaccurate because I didn't have all the facts. My understanding is incomplete, which makes it inadequate. Now, the goal is that as we go along in this journey with Jesus, that our understanding becomes more complete because we're relying on Him and asking Him to give us wisdom, and we're asking Him to give us direction. But the fact that I'm imperfect and don't have all the information sometimes makes my understanding of a situation inadequate. And here's one of the most dangerous. And here's one that I see jumping up and jumping out in the world all around us even more day by day. My understanding as a human can be influenced by worldly standards and beliefs. That's why I don't rely on my own understanding. Because sometimes our understanding can be influenced by worldly standards and beliefs. If we allow this culture and if we allow this society and the world in which we live to influence our decisions and help us determine what's right and wrong, we're going to be going way down the wrong path, because there are a lot of things going on in our world today that aren't Christian. And no matter how sympathetic and empathetic I want to be with someone who finds themselves in a situation that's not godly, I cannot allow my sympathy or my emotions to cause me to do something or agree with something that's not right. Ladies and gentlemen, our Supreme Court, our Congress, our governors, and whoever wants to decide, we can make a determine that same-sex marriage is legal. Other than that, right? Because something's legal doesn't make it moral. Just because something legal doesn't make it right. And according to the scripture that I read, the only type of marriage relationship that I've ever found that is scriptural and biblical is between one man and one woman. That's the only marriage situation I've ever seen God establish or ordain or encourage. But to say anything different makes us intolerant, makes us hateful. No, it doesn't. I don't hate those people. Matter of fact, I'd love nothing more than the opportunity to share Jesus with them. But we can't afford to fall into the trap of relying on our own understanding, because sometimes that understanding can be influenced by the worldly standards and situations around us. Matthew Henry, one of the other commentators that I read, says this: those who know themselves cannot but find their own understanding to be a broken reed, which if they lean on, will certainly fail them. Have you ever leaned on something and it didn't hold you up? Have you ever grabbed a hold of something and thought, boy, I'm falling, I'm going to grab a hold of this, or I'm feeling unsteady, I'm going to grab a hold of this, and all you do is bring that object down with you because it won't hold up your weight? That's what Matthew Henry's saying. If we rely and lean on our own understanding, it will certainly fail us, just as a broken reed would do. You see, you can be a person who has great instinct. You can be a person who has great intuition. You can be a person who has great insight or even influence. And you can be a person who has the best of intentions. But sooner or later, relying on our own understanding is going to come back and bite us. Sooner or later, if we put all of our trust and confidence in our own understanding, it's going to fail us. I read a story a long time ago, and I've seen some things recently that have said it's not exactly true, so I don't know, but I read the story about a guy named Michael Jordan. Any of you ever heard of him? Pretty famous basketball player for some reason or another. You know, I had heard a story, and I don't know, maybe someone can tell me whether this is actually true or not, but like during his junior high school years, he wasn't very good. He wasn't very coordinated. And I'd heard and read in print, even read a story that Michael Jordan got cut from his junior varsity basketball team. Now, I don't know who that coach was, but I'm betting if that story is true, he's not out advertising that fact. There comes a time in our spiritual lives when we need to do something very important. We need to trade our crutches for Christ. We need to trade our crutches for Christ. Because see, that's who we need to lean on. That's where we need to put our confidence and our trust. There are a lot of things in life we can use as crutches. What are they? Sometimes they can even be excuses. Can use sometimes things that have happened in the past to cause me not to be able to move forward. And when I look at that, I think, well, that's kind of an excuse. How do I get past that? How do I get past that experience? How do I get past that hurt? We have to give it to God. We can use all these different things, our own strength, and we can use our own abilities as crutches to get us through life, but sooner or later, they're not going to be good enough anymore. We're going to find a situation that they won't get us through. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean or don't rely on your own understanding. We need to get rid of the crutch. And we're going to do that maybe in just a few minutes. But there's another thing that this passage of Scripture talks about that's very important along the way in our journey, and that's that we need to acknowledge God in all of our ways. What is the importance of acknowledging God? What does it mean? Adam Clark once again says that it means to begin and continue and end every work, purpose, and device with God. Put that in a little more modern day terminology. That means we need to start and end everything we do in life with God. He has to be the beginning and he has to be the end. Self-sufficiency and self-dependence have been the ruin of mankind ever since the fall of Adam, he goes on to say. And the grand sin of the human race is our continual endeavor to live independently of God, to be without God in the world. The grand sin of the human race is our continual endeavor to live independently of God, to be without God in the world. To acknowledge Him in all my ways means that I recognize God's presence and provision in every aspect of my life. It means that we openly admit and recognize our dependence on Him, who we are, what we are, That's all because of him. What we have because of him. Every breath that we take, we breathe because he gives it to us. The ability we have to work and make a living with our hands or our brains, whatever it might be, comes from him. I was working as a groundskeeper for Blue Valley School District while I was in college at Mid-America. It was payday. Everybody loves payday. We lined up to get our paychecks, and one of the other guys that I worked with, who was also a Christian, walked up and got his paycheck from the boss, and he said, "Well, thank the Lord." There was another man that I worked with who was about as far from Christian, I think, as you could get on most days. And in a big, gruff voice, he said, "You can thank whoever you want. Lord didn't have anything to do with my check. I worked for every dime I got." Wow. Who gave you the ability to work? Who gave you the know-how to do what you do? God did. A.W. Tozer addresses this theme about giving God credit and recognizing God in every aspect of our life. I want to read something to you. He says, "I've studied the New Testament enough to know that our Lord Jesus Christ never made the sharp distinction between secular and sacred in the things that we do." He says, "I think it's wrong to place our physical necessities on one side and put praying and singing and giving and Bible reading and testifying on the other. When we are living for the Lord and living to please and honor him, eating our breakfast can be just as spiritual as having our family prayers. There is no reason for a committed Christian to apologize. 'Lord, I am awfully sorry, but you know I have to eat now. I'll be with you again just as soon as I'm through.' Well, we have a better way than that in our living for God, and we see as we consider his feeding of the 5,000, the meaning of his lordship. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord of our bread and Lord of our eating, Lord of our sleeping and Lord of our working. Brethren, our Lord is with us, sanctifying everything we do, provided it is honest and good." What's he talking about? Well, today's Sunday, so I've got to be more spiritual. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to teach my Sunday school class. I'm going to put money in the offering. I'm going to sing a couple of songs when they sing. I'm going to bow my head and say a quick prayer while the pastor's praying. I'm going to do all those things. This is Sunday. That's my spiritual day. When I go to work or tomorrow when I go to school, that's a whole different thing. No, that's not a whole different thing. It all goes together. It all goes together. See, I'm not going to lie to you, my witness is not so much what I do while I'm in this room. My witness is what I do when I leave this room. My witness is how I live outside the doors of this church. My witness is what people see me do in the grocery store or at the school or wherever it might be in the workplace. My testimony and my witness is how I act and how I respond and how I serve God in all those other aspects of my life. It's exactly what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31 is talking about. It says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." To acknowledge God in all of our ways basically means that we recognize his role in every area of my life. So what happens? What are the results? What are the results of following the instructions that we've been talking about today and even last week? What happens if I trust in the Lord with all my heart? What happens if I don't lean on my own understanding, but I put my trust and confidence fully in him? What happens if I acknowledge God in everything that I do and in every aspect of my life? It says, "He will make your path straight." Or another translation says this, "He will direct our path." What it means is this: he's going to lead us. He will direct us. He will show us the way to live now so that we can live eternally. brought these today as a symbol of all those things in my life, or all those things in your life, that you might lean on instead of Christ. And what I'm going to do with them now symbolizes what we need to do with them spiritually. I'm putting one of them there. I'm putting one of them here. If I'm going to follow Jesus, if I'm going to walk with Him and live a life that's pleasing to Him, I have to trade whatever my crutches are, exchange them for His wisdom, His leadership, His guidance. So I'm going to ask you this morning, what are you leaning on? What are you using as your crutch to get through life? Oh, I can think of a lot of them. But what's yours? I don't have to name a bunch of stuff for you. I'm not here to try to name what a sin is or what a failure to lean on God looks like. You already know that. What are you using? What are you leaning on? And the next question is this: are you ready to come forward and lay that crutch on the altar and give it to Jesus? And say, from now on, I'm trusting completely in You in every area and aspect of my life. Here's what I can promise you. If you'll give it to Him, if you'll let go of it, He'll take it and give you something that's far better, far more durable, far more dependable. He'll give you something that we know we can lean on in any circumstance, any situation, and it'll hold us up. He'll give us His Holy Spirit to live within us, to strengthen us, and stabilize us, so that we can be effective and be victorious. Do you have a crutch this morning you need to give Him? I'm going to ask you to stand this morning and bow your head. Do you have something in your life that you're using as a crutch that you need to give to God? It's as simple as coming to this altar and leaving it right there. What I want us to do, we're going to sing this song together, hymn number 596. We're going to sing this song together, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And while we sing that, if you have something you need to come, maybe you just need to come symbolically and stand in front of the altar and say, I give this to Jesus, and then go back. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn out thing. But as we sing this song together, let's be obedient to God. Do what He asks us to do. Leaning on the Everlasting Arm, number 596. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. How bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Brother Darrell Wortley, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?